No matter if points are gained or points are lost, there will be much to discuss. For analysis regarding tonight's Winnipeg Jets game, here are Dave Manouk, Ezra Ginsberg, and your host, Drew Mandel. The Illegal Curve post-game show starts now.
Good evening, Winnipeg. Good evening, Manitoba. And for all those joining us live on our YouTube channel and all of our social media platforms, we say good evening, universe, and La Le Padraig Sana Yev, which means happy St. Patrick's Day in Gaelic. And that'll be the last of my Gaelic speaking for the rest of my
life. Thank you, Drew Omendel.
That's right. Alongside.
You're wearing a Jets hat? What kind of show is this?
Laura was out today and said I needed to wear green for St. Patrick's Day.
At least turn it around, Drew. I mean, what are you looking like here?
I'm going to take it off in a second, Dave. It's not the end of the world. You relax, okay? I don't think anybody's going to accuse me of being a homer at any point in time. But Laura picked me up a green St. Patrick's Day hat, and I don't have any green shirts.
Is that a handkerchief?
This is not a handkerchief. In fact, this is a... one of my kids' scarves, but it's actually a Lucky Charms branded scarf. So hang on, let me see if I can get that on the camera there. See, Lucky Charms is the supporter of this scarf. I don't know what happened to Dave. Dave just left and went somewhere. But Lucky Charms is this. We got this scarf from somewhere. I don't know where the hell it is. But I'm borrowing it from my kids to get in the spirit of the things of the day, given that it's St. Patrick's Day.
Absolutely.
And we thought we'd wear some green. And my wife, of course, Laura, has some Irish heritage if you go way back. So
do I. Beef, I'm a quarter.
There you go. You're a quarter. So corned beef, cabbage, and Jameson's for everybody on this Sunday evening. There you go, Dave. Is that a Fighting Irish hat? Is that what that is? There you go. We're all a little Irish. The rare Irish Love Jews it. Join on today's edition of the Illegal Curve post-game show. Frankly, it's probably more entertaining to talk about that than it was competitive to talk about that Winnipeg Jets demolishment. Not really a word, but you'll go with it, of the Columbus Blue Jackets.
The Blue Jackets should give all the fans that watch that game at Nationwide Arena their money back.
Well, I mean, that was... In a stretch of some terrible hockey that we've seen, some really bad opponents, that might be the worst. That might have been the worst game, the worst opponent we've seen in a long while for the Winnipeg Jets. I mean, you know, especially what happened in that second period where it was...
Was Johnny Gaudreau in that game, Drew? Like, honestly, wow. Like, I realize he was right in that game, but like, yeah, that Blue Jackets team is really bad. But again, we're going to break down the goals and the Betway game recap and everything like that. But like, this is a terrible team that the Jets should be beating 6-1, and they did, right? Despite the fact the first period was pretty bad.
Yeah, the first period wasn't a good period for the Winnipeg Jets. By you know, they were, you know, they got obviously the early goal that we'll talk about coming up here momentarily, and the Betway game recap, as you mentioned, Ezzy, they get the early goal, but other than that, you know, Columbus was the better of the two teams in that first period, and it seems like the Jets went to the dressing room despite having the lead. They went to the dressing room with a sour taste in their mouth because they're like, no, we're not going to even fool around in this second period, because that second period was about as one-sided a period as we've seen this season, Dave.
Yeah, there's no question about that, and you're right. Look, there's no excuse. The Columbus Blue Jackets played last night. The Columbus Blue Jackets are not a very good hockey team, so if you're the Winnipeg Jets, when we look at this 5-game road trip, of the games that you are going to play on it, this is your easiest one. So this is the one you needed to have this type of effort. This is the one where you needed to, you know, we talk about building chemistry on that second line and what they're able to do as a trio. And we saw it in the second period. So from that, and I guess again in the third period, but you wanted to see that sort of thing. And you got that. So the Jets had the opportunity. Look, like, as you said, this is the two teams you've now beaten are the two teams you should have beaten.
Yes.
You should have done what you did to the Ducks on Friday. You should have done what you did to the Blue Jackets today. Those are both things that you, it was an expectation. Now, you're going to have a way tougher test, says Captain Obvious, on Tuesday when you take on the New York Rangers and Ezzy's boy Rempe, back from suspension. Although it's funny because after the fight Tyrell Bauer had yesterday, as people were saying, call him up and they can deal with each other. The only problem, hold on, Drew, just no, one second. Give me a little latitude here. It's a funny story. They both played for Seattle. They both grew up in Alberta. They're buddies. They trained together in the offseason. So it wouldn't matter anyways, because you're not going to do that, but it just Anyways, it's his first game back from suspension. Got a really good Rangers team. So the Jets are going to have to be ready, and they're going to have rested guys because they went with the same lineup. So we thought maybe they would, you know, get Dylan Sandberg back into the lineup. He doesn't. He stays out, which was a little bit curious. Cole Perfetti stays out of the lineup.
Back in Tuesday night, Dave. I really do. I think 100%. Sandberg and Miller are back in for sure. Perfetti, well, I'm not so sure about. I wouldn't be surprised about Perfetti, but I don't think you're giving. At the very least, I don't think, even though Logan Stanley got a goal tonight, I don't think Dylan Sandberg is going to be out for the third straight game. And I think Dave's in agreement with that.
Yeah,
and Rick Bonus said that everybody's going to play on this road trip. I mean, he said that in his media availability, which, of course, is available on illegalcurve.com. He said, look, that he didn't expect to roll out the same lineup. But, you know, given what happened on Friday, given how well everybody played, he decided to just go again with the same lineup. But he said that everybody is going to play, because that's exactly what we talked about yesterday on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. The Jets are in a position where you can roll guys and sit some guys and get some guys some extra rest. And that's a fortuitous position to be in, not only because of where you are in the standings, that certainly is a big factor in it, but also the where they are in terms of the salary cap. The fact that they have this expanded roster, which is to their advantage. So use it to your advantage and get guys, you know, get some guys some days off that they wouldn't typically get. Get guys feeling good about themselves and just sort of constantly rotating through and doing some lineup churn from now until probably the last few games of the season, when you really want to maybe begin to narrow down what you want for the start of the playoffs. And the Jets should take advantage of that. And that's what Rick Bonus basically said they're going to do over the course of this road trip. And then I'm sure for the first few games back at home after this week is done.
Right. And I think, you know, what you saw tonight was the continued strong play of the Monahan line. We'll go goal by goal here. Like, I didn't think Shifley, Connor, and Iafallo were particularly dominant, but this was a cookie night, right? So, like, you had, you know,
every night's a cookie night for us, Eze.
Well, it's true. It is true. Yeah. Especially chocolate chip, right? That's our favorite. Are you an oatmeal? Do you like oatmeal raisin? Because I love oatmeal raisin.
Oatmeal chocolate chip. Aaron yesterday was in a swimming competition. At the end of the competition, they sort of got a goodie bag of treats and things. And she doesn't like oatmeal chocolate chip cookies, so she handed those over to me real quick. And let me tell you, Daddy didn't waste any time snarfling those Dad's oatmeal chocolate chip cookies down.
Yeah, I'm with you. Oatmeal raisin or oatmeal chocolate chip. But this isn't the cookie hour, even though it was a cookie night for the Jets. But, I mean, look, they didn't need the Shifley line to be dominant, right, Dave? So I still think Namestnikov is a better – we talked about it on yesterday morning show, so I'm just going to echo what I said. I like Namestnikov if Toffoli's not playing on the top line, right? But, I mean, look, guys, I mean, Toffoli – Dave mentioned this as we were watching this game, right? Like, four goals in the last two games, and he just fits so well on that second line. And he would fit nicely on the first line, I think, too. But, I mean, look, the Jets probably could have had 8 or 9 goals. There was the disallowed goal, obviously, right? But Columbus just isn't a very good team. And I think, you know, in the back of the Jets players' minds was, you know, some of these losses, right? Like, they've been shut out a couple times over the last couple weeks. And I think based on how stinky that first period was, Dave, I think that was in the backs of their minds that they were like, okay, guys, let's turn it up here. We're playing the Columbus Blue Jackets. As Drew mentioned, you've got the Rangers coming up, the Devils, the Islanders, the Capitals, not in that order, but those are the other four games on this road trip. So like Dave said, this was the easiest game to start it off. And I don't think that the Jets wanted to, you know, this to be a one goal lead or anything like that. They put their foot on the gas and they stomped on the Blue Jackets' throats, if you will.
Yeah, that's exactly what it was. It was just a set, you know, and the Jets. Really
sorry to be so graphic there, Drew, but
that's true. Yeah, it's a little morbid, a little, you know, a little much for a, you know, just before 8 o'clock. It's still, this might be a G-rated show tonight.
Early.
Given that it's still the early hour. Now, we're not going to start working PG or NC-17 or anything like that just yet there, Mr. Ginsburg, but it's okay. We'll forgive you on that one. Look, the Jets really only played that one period, but that one period was so dominant that it was enough. And yeah, you know, you can say Columbus was the better team in the third period or maybe had a better flow of the game in the third period, but it doesn't matter. I mean, that doesn't matter at all. That's like saying the Jets had a better third period against the Predators. Well, yeah, they did, but that was after they were already down 4-0. It doesn't matter at that point in time. That's just, you know, you know, the Jets aren't in the in a position. They're not going to be doing anything risky. They're not going to be doing anything the least bit challenging. They're going to make their try and make their lives as simple as they can be. So no wonder Columbus is going to outshoot them, and no wonder Columbus is going to look like they have a better, more zone time in the third period. The Jets, anytime they wanted to, could have just sort of, you know, decided
you can exert your whatever will you want at that
point.
That's
right, exactly right.
You know, some 6-1 games, guys, like there's a couple of empty net goals, and you're like, well, the score wasn't really indicative of the play on the ice. The score in this game was indicative of the play on the ice, right?
Like, that's right.
This could have been worse. And yes, I agree. A lot of people in the chat talking about Hellebuck in the first period. Yeah, Hellebuck was sharp, as he always is, right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, the Jets could have found themselves down a goal for sure, Dave. But like Drew said, I mean, you know, the three, was it three goals or four goals in the second period? I forget.
Four.
I think it was three.
Four.
No, there
four.
You go. So, I mean, the game's over, like, at that point, right? Like, you're just not going to be getting that many goals past Hellebuck unless, you know, something really weird were to happen. So, give the Jets credit for taking advantage of it. Drew always talks about it. Take advantage of a weaker opponent. That's what the Jets did here. This was a game where, as long as you played, you know, your B-level game, you're going to beat a team like the Blue Jackets.
That's just it. That's exactly right. I mean, we talk again with something else we sort of referenced yesterday on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show, that the Jets didn't need an A game. They had an A game against Anaheim, but they could probably beat Anaheim with a B plus game. Today, I don't think the Jets necessarily had an A game for most of the 60 minutes. They had an A game certainly in that second period. But other than that, I thought it was probably, you know, that first period was at best, what, a B? You know, if you want to grade them by period, at best a B. And so you're fortunate or you're happy to be out 1-0 after 20 minutes, thanks to Connor Hellebuck, a lot of it. And then that third period, the second period was such an A-plus that the third period could have been an F and it didn't matter because the Jets, you know, had a 5-0 lead after 40 minutes. And it's not like Columbus was going to stage a comeback, no matter, you know, even though they scored, what was it, you know, 19 seconds into the 39 seconds in to the third period. It didn't matter at that point in time.
No, and we've got the comment up from David Shakowicz here talking about the comment is the boys got a talking to in the first intermission. It's possible that, you know, Bones gave it to them, but I also think this was the players.
That's
probably
exactly
guys like Adam Lowry, Josh Morrissey, Mark Scheifele, the leadership group, right, Dave? Like, I think this is where, you know, those guys stand up in the dressing room, or maybe they sat down, but the point is they were the ones that were vocal in the dressing room saying, like, hey, guys, like, you know, we played like horse crap in the first period, like, let's get going here. This is the first game of a road trip and we want to get it off on the right foot, right? So I'm not necessarily sure that it was one of those situations, but regardless, the Jets' effort in the second period was you know, far better than it was in the first, that's for sure.
Yeah, and look, it's one of those things, you have to still respect your opponent, right? You know, they still have some NHL talent. We talked about it with Aaron Portsline on yesterday's Illegal Curve Hockey Show for some time, but this is clearly a group. I mean, we talked about Johnny Gaudreau, and Ezzie's right, was sometime, I honestly don't think I even took note of him until maybe in the third period where he got a shot off on Hellebuck, and I was like, oh, there's Johnny Gaudreau. But he really wasn't. He wasn't of any significance. And, you know, like, it's clear when this team is just, you know, similar to, they've got, I know, some exciting young talent. It's not quite there yet, so they're still a ways away. But ultimately, this is I'm not going to say it's a hard game to get excited for, but it's probably a bit of a hard game to get excited for because of, you know, it's almost one of those inevitables. And the one thing you have to give the Jets credit for is they did what they needed to do, right? They didn't just beat Columbus 3-1, a team that played last night, right? They handled them well. And even though Columbus got one back, I mean, again, it's like watching a cat toy with a mouse, really, in my mind, in terms of the strengths of these two opponents. So ultimately, you wanted to see that Winnipeg was going to do what they did, which was, like, you didn't like the start from Winnipeg, because again, I don't think that they were as engaged as we'll see on Tuesday, when you know that you can't be flat-footed against the Rangers because they're too good a hockey team. So we'll see if they're ready to go right for puck drop. And look, that's not really been the Jets' MO. It's been, you know, they're being ready to go right for puck drop. Right. But ultimately, I think you just saw a team know, like, we can handle this team. They did what they needed to do, which was handle them, you know, rather easily. And then you take the 2 points, you go into the dressing room, and you're like, listen, we got 43 wins on the road. I mean, this is 43 wins in total. Sorry. You're back in,
inflating the road record a little bit.
No, but I mean, you're back in first place.
Yes.
Right. 67 games. It took him to get 43 wins. And I'll go with some more potpourri because you know, it's coming, Drew. Oh, 43 wins came in 72 games in 17-18 and in 77 games in last year. So well ahead of last year.
We need to make a bumper for potpourri for, you know, instead of,
no, because then we'd be playing that bumper every 5 seconds
instead of
coming with some useless
tidbit. It's going to be like, here comes some useless potpourri from David, you know, put on your smelling, your smelly the flowers. Your some useless potpourri from Dave Manouk.
Well, you'd be a lot of playing that bumper. But anyways, it's just interesting because again, to the folks who were comparing this team to last year's team, this team is 10 wins ahead of where they were last year at this time. So definitely something that's worth noting.
What I think, what I think it's worth noting before we head into the Betway game recap is the time on ice for the forwards. I mean, the beauty of a game like tonight, mm-hmm. when you're in the midst of this 5 games in 8 nights sort of stretch, you know, or you're starting that, is that, you know, of all the Jets forwards, Adam Lowry led all Jets forwards with 16 minutes and 58 seconds of ice time.
Which is so great.
Really low number in terms of time on ice.
The definition of spreading around the ice time, right, Drew?
Right, exactly. Morgan Barron who had the least, or is it David Gustafson? David Gustafson had the least at 10 minutes and 30 seconds. So all 12 of your forwards played between 10 and a half minutes and 16 minutes, 58 seconds. That's
beautiful
from the Jets.
For a guy that hasn't played a lot for the Jets this year, I really liked his game. Like, he's a guy that I think, you know, should get a strong look, you know, for playing the majority of games down the stretch. Obviously, Cole Perfetti has something to say about that. But for me, like, I think Gustafson has shown me more on the fourth line than Rasmus Kupari.
No question mm-hmm. about it. He's big and he's physical. It hasn't translated onto the score sheet. But every time when he's got a head of speed, head of steam behind him, and he goes in on the forecheck, you can sort of see how he's grown into his big frame. How he's no longer, the frail, thin, tall, lanky sort of David Gustafson. How he's.
I also like the
out.
Fact that Gustafson and Namestnikov, Drew, can both take faceoffs.
Absolutely,
exactly. Right. Like Morgan Barron can as well. But what I'm saying is, like, you know, these guys are interchangeable, center, wing. You know, depending yes. what side they're on and everything like that. So it's just something to keep an eye on because right now Perfetti could come in as early as Tuesday. But honestly, guys, I'm kind of leaning towards, you know, Bones sticking with Gustafson, Barron, and Namestnikov. I think that line has been really solid.
It has been, as in, you know, Drew says, you know, Gustafson doesn't get on the score sheet, but the Logan Stanley goal doesn't happen if he's not creating the screen. So it's funny how, like, and we saw it last night in the Moose game where guys will be in front. The goals are not happening without that screen, without a guy willing to stand in front and take away the goaltender's eyes. They get a plus on it, which, you know, we know how exciting that is for folks, but ultimately he doesn't get on the score sheet. But, you know, like I said, so it's funny when they call that an unassisted goal, it's not an unassisted goal because really, if it's not for Gustafson, that goal isn't happening, that big Logan Stanley bomb. But I digress. I'm getting a little ahead of myself. We've still got 3 goals before that one to start talking about.
Yeah, speaking of that line, Gustafson, Namestnikov, Barron, they led the Jets in terms of the Jets forward lines in terms of Corsi, almost at 63-64%. So, you know, really strong game for that line. I mean, it was a strong game for most of the Winnipeg Jets, but that line is especially so. So I wouldn't be surprised to see them stay together on Tuesday against the Rangers. Let's get into it goal by goal. There's 6 Jets goals to go through. It is the Betway game recap here on the Illegal Curve post-game show.
The Betway game recap.
Big thanks to our friends at Betway, of course, for their support of the Illegal Curve post-game show. Almost 400 of you watching us on a Sunday night. You should know that Betway is the sports betting app that puts you, the customer, at the forefront. March Madness bracket unveiled earlier tonight. That means that you know that Thursday, Friday, big, big betting days. Betway is your destination for some great March Madness action.
Go so Kentucky, head on over right, to Drew?
Say that again, Ezzy?
Go Kentucky.
Go Kentucky, right? Right about that, my friend. Head on over to Betway and bet your way. Must be 19 years or older to play. Please, play responsibly. That's certainly first and foremost. Jets open the scoring exactly what you want to do against a lesser opponent. They open the scoring nice and early. The highlight of the first period would have been this one. A minute 26 into the game, Kyle Connor gets his 29th of the year, assist to Mark Scheifele and Dylan DeMello. And, you know, yes, Kyle Connor's goal scoring numbers might be a little bit down this year from past years. That's largely due to the fact he missed, you know, the 6 weeks with the knee injury.
Yeah, he missed 16 games, right?
Right. But you don't leave Kyle Connor all alone below the hash marks between the dots. Just don't do that. You're asking for trouble. Scheifele goes low to high, and Connor makes no mistake. And it's just like, what is that defensive coverage? I mean, there's a number of those times during the course of tonight's game you could say, what is that defensive coverage from the Blue Jackets? But certainly a minute 26 into the game, and you're like, what did I just see? And it's 1-0 for the Winnipeg Jets.
Yeah, it was Alex Nylander, who was the forward I took a note of, that was really kind of just standing around. Maybe that's the reason why Alex Nylander has been on so many NHL teams, as opposed to his brother, who's obviously a star in Toronto. But yeah, I mean, you're absolutely right, Drew. It's a beauty pass by Mark Scheifele. Like, how many times, guys, have we said that over the years, right? Scheifele to Connor or Connor to Scheifele. But really, there's not much more to it. Scheifele just, like you said, Scheifele finds Connor, who's in the slot, and it's just really easy for him, and he makes no mistake about it. So there's not much, you know, really to break down. You know, I think obviously the context is really important. The Jets, first game of a long road trip, yeah. You want to get the early goal, and obviously you don't know that you're going to get the goal that early, Dave, but I mean, that's what you want to do, especially I think when a team is on the second game of a back-to-back, it's not a very good team. So, you know, you couldn't have really scripted that any better, right? And it comes from the first line, and we know that the Scheifele line, they haven't been terrible, obviously, but they also haven't been, I think, maybe as dominant as you would like to see your first line at this point in a regular season, right? We're in the, obviously, the final stretches of the regular season here, but yeah, just nice chemistry there shown by Scheifele and Connor. But yes, Drew, I agree with you. That's what we saw all night long, just loose defensive coverage from the Blue Jackets, just kind of clueless out there.
And, you know, I just was going to add, it's just,
go ahead.
Oh, no, I was just going to say, like, but it just goes to show you that it's that chemistry that Scheifele and Connor have, right? That knowing where the other guy is going to be. And Mark Scheifele makes no mistake. And this is his, was that his ninth year or something? No, I think it was his sixth or seventh year now of getting, I should know, I put this in the recap.
You're the potpourri guy. How do you not know the potpourri you're trying to get out here?
Sixth time of his career that he's had at least 40 assists in a season. So, you know, he's had 51 time. I think that was 16, 17, maybe 17, 18, probably 17, 18 when they went on that run. But so we'll see if he can get the 50, should be able to do it. And Dylan DeMello, he also, who picked up the secondary assist, he hits a career high for himself in terms of which matching his career high, I should say, from last year in 21 assists. So again, it's more just the idea of getting on a tired opponent and a team that, remember, we always, I always laugh because I always forget what the rule is. When you're the team that played the night before, is it that you're better in the first period or you're better in the third period? Really, it all depends on what, you know, what the result is. And then you say, that's the way you kind of you tailor the comment to be as, but ultimately, you know, you've kind of felt like, okay, maybe Columbus would have a little jump in their step to start the game. And, you know, even though it was a bit of an unusual start time at the 5 p.m. Central, but ultimately
6 p.m. local in Columbus though.
6 p.m. Still a different start time than the 7 usual and or 6:30 stupid start times from last week. But now it's back to somewhat regular in terms of, well, maybe not. But anyways, the point is that you got a good start. You got that good feeling. And then ultimately, it's funny because at that point, I don't know about you guys, but I was like, well, it's going to be a long night for Columbus. It didn't turn out to be for the rest of the period.
Right.
But I thought it was going to be based on that start.
Yeah, you know, and that's exactly right. I mean, that's where, you know, the rest of the period, they outshoot Winnipeg 11-7. You know, and if it wasn't for Connor Hellebuck, and the Jets were just way too loose defensively in that first period, and so Connor Hellebuck had to make a number of nice saves, none that I would describe as, you know, five alarm robbery or anything along those lines, but he had to be probably the best Jets player in that first period until the Jets found their legs and decided to take over the game come period number two.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Absolutely. And, you know, we've seen that so many times this year, but, you know, if you're able, the problem is, like, you know, last year the Jets were losing these types of games. Like, they would have a couple of bad periods. Now this year they're having one bad period, but they make up for that with an excellent period. And we talked about four goals in the second period, but yeah, you're right. I mean, and look, Columbus, they're still in front of a home crowd on a Sunday. You know, they're trying to, they have pride. All players have pride. All teams have pride. They're just not a very good team, right? And, like, I'm just watching the replay here. Alex Nylander is on the top line. I mean, that shows you how bad the Blue Jackets are, right?
He's actually been on a heater as of late. I think he entered the today's game 7 goals in his last 9 games or something for Columbus since they acquired him.
I just
Buffalo.
Think Nylander, yeah. You remember Drew's a sixth overall pick. Yeah. He just hasn't really put together long stretches. You're right. The talent is there for sure. I'm not taking anything away from his talent. He's definitely got first round talent, if you want to call it that. But Boone Jenner is following Scheifele behind the net, and then it's the Jake Bean, Zach Werenski, which is the top pair. Like, this is the Jets' top line, top forward line, top pair versus the Blue Jackets' top forward line and top D pair. 1.5 minutes into the game, and to me, like, Nylander just doesn't react, and he just doesn't pick up Kyle Connor. Like, that's his man. Zach Werenski was also in front of the net. I mentioned Jake Bean was covering Iafallo, of course. He's the other forward. But yeah, I mean, it's just, look, the Blue Jackets had some scoring chances, but like you said, Drew, I mean, I just, at no point in that first period did I think that, you know, the Blue Jackets were in control of this game or were going to take control of this game. I think the Jets realized that, you know, okay, let's just get the job done in the second period. Maybe they didn't expect to score 4 goals, but I mean, the way Elvis Merzlikins has been playing this year, Aaron Portsline told us yesterday he expects him to be bought out. So yeah. I don't think anybody should be that surprised that Merzlikins didn't look too hot in this game.
He certainly didn't. 1-0 for the Jets after 20 minutes. They open the scoring in that first in 86 seconds. They improve upon that in period number 2, 70 seconds into the second period. It's Nikolaj Ehlers, his 20th, all of which have come at 5-on-5, which is a bit of an incredible stat. I think he's second in the NHL in 5-on-5 goals for. So it's his 20th of the year, assisted to Foley and Monahan. And again, you're leaving a goal scorer wide open in the slot in a high danger area. It's almost, you know, a carbon copy of a low to high goal, just like we saw on the Connor goal. You know, to get to that point wasn't exactly the same, but you have to have better defensive zone coverage. I mean, this is shades of the Winnipeg Jets from a couple of years ago, just being, you know, home free within the high danger zone. And, you know, Ehlers makes no mistake on this one to make it 2-0 70 seconds into the period, Dave.
And, you know, it's funny, there's so many things that went well for Winnipeg, right? They intercept the puck in the neutral zone with Ehlers being aggressive, carry it in. Ehlers rips it off the post. Josh Morrissey, aggressive on along the wall, keeps the puck deep in the Columbus end. And then, you know, Tyler Toffoli, credit him. What a pass. No look. And Nikolaj Ehlers, you're right. Terrible defensive coverage by the Blue Jackets. But you got to give Ehlers credit for being in the right spot and just putting home a beauty. And that, I mean, you want to talk about guys who can score in consistency. Seven straight years for Nikolaj Ehlers with at least 20 goals. Or at least 7 times in his career, I should say. I don't know if it's 7 straight, but it's unbelievable how automatic he is and how good his shot is. So we saw it on the hitting the post, and then, you know, shortly thereafter, they get that 2-0 lead. And once that starts to happen, and then you're like, it's over, Rock. Like, it's done. You can feel like the Jets are taking back control, and obviously they did for the remainder of that period. But I just like the idea, Ezzy, that this line is developing chemistry. And that's what Rick Bonus has been talking about. And everybody who's so desperate, and don't get me wrong, I agree that Nikolaj Ehlers and Mark Scheifele, we know the numbers. We know that it works better. The results are there from an analytics perspective. But the biggest thing for this Jets club has been this second line and finding, you know, someone who's going to assist them. And I think, you know, I still think, and again, I'm not here to bash Alex Iafallo because in my mind, he's got the best goal song of the entire team with the Old Poison. But I still think Vlad Nemestikov, as we talked about yesterday,
Macarena is at least number 2 then on your list, right?
Sure, sure. But Poison is number 1.
Wait, come on, Matt, you can't beat Macarena.
I would go with Poison. I go with 80s metal. But the point I'm making is that
I just want to see Drew do Macarena again.
I still think Nemestikov. Yeah, like
only
last
when
night.
They score at home.
I still think Nemestikov would be a better sort of fit with Scheifele and Connor, but ultimately the whole idea and what we've been hearing from the coaching staff is he really wants to give that second line an opportunity. Well, we're seeing that opportunity and we're seeing the results of that opportunity of them developing that chemistry. And so far, so good.
And I think what the Jets have to love on that goal, sorry, Ezzy, but they have to love on that goal is what you alluded to, Dave, is that it's caused by a neutral zone turnover. The Jets force the turnover in the neutral zone with a good stick, and they transition it so quickly, and ultimately they end up getting the goal as a result.
Yeah, I think there's a bot in there that you might want to get rid of. There's some
really
weird...
you think that we've all been sentenced to jail? Is that what's happened here on the
other? Gone.
I don't know. Gone. Anytime I see that many comments and there's all that caps lock, like there's no reason to use that much caps lock in a hockey show chat section. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
So thank you for taking care of that, Drew.
I did. Dave did it.
It was me.
Or Dave.
I wanted to hear more about what the person had to say. I was going to subscribe to their newsletter. I thought they had some interesting ideas. I wanted to find out more about.
Yeah. But you know, to Dave's point though about the second line, I think especially that we know that Vilardi's not on this road trip and he's not going to play these next four games. I think that is a reason why I think you're going to see Scheifele and Connor stick together on the first line, whereas you might have seen something change there, right? Like we know that Ehlers, Scheifele, Vilardi is kind of your Corsi or advanced stats darling line, right? But yeah, we know that right now, the way Toffoli, Monahan, and Ehlers are playing together, and I think you could make an argument maybe that you'd like to see Toffoli on the top line at some point down the stretch to see, you know, how that line works going into the playoffs. But, you know, I still think, you know, look, Iafallo is a veteran hockey player. You know, he doesn't score a lot of goals. He chips in the odd goal here and there, but he's also somebody who you know what you're going to get. We know that Bonus knows he likes his reliable lines, hence the Lowry, Niederreiter, Appleton line, right? Like, I don't even know if we've seen, you know, since maybe earlier in the season, guys, that line broken up, right? Like, that's your
long time
quote unquote identity line, right? So I think you're absolutely right, Dave. Like, and, you know, just continuing on the second goal here, Merzlikins had to make a great blocker save right before this goal was scored. Mm-hmm. Ehlers almost scored two goals on one shift. Obviously, I'm joking. That can't happen. But, I mean, Ehlers was, like, he wasn't going to be stopped on this one. But got to give credit, Dave, for this. Like, Ehlers pokes the puck. Monahan pokes the puck along the boards. And it's a really nice backhand. I don't even know. Was it between the legs? Might have been between the legs, but it was a backhand pass by Toffoli right on the stick. So, again, Dave always talks about how good of a playmaker Connor is. Everybody thinks of him as a goal scorer. Toffoli is obviously known as a goal scorer and can score goals, hence the 30 goals. But let's give him some credit here. He can also distribute that puck pretty well.
Well, yeah. Ezzy, I know it's more of a Saturday topic, but just again, think about Iafallo with Barron and Gustafson, and then Namestnikov up with Scheifele and Connor. It makes so much more
sense.
That's
what I think makes a lot of sense. It just makes,
I honestly, really as he was talking, I'm just thinking to myself, like, you've got a second line that you know now works. You got a third line that you know now works. The first line could be better. And I think Namestnikov elevates that line. And I think Iafallo, Gustafson, and Barron, that's a hell of a good fourth line.
Yeah. Namestnikov gives you more offense, a little bit more offense than Iafallo. Not a ton, but also he's a reliable defensive forward. And not that Iafallo isn't, but I think that you're just getting it. Like Namestnikov is just a notch above Iafallo in terms of how he can drive play on that line.
Yes, the offensive upside of Namestnikov is greater than Iafallo. So, since that line's been put together, the Jets haven't struggled. They've won handily.
Right.
So I think I would not be surprised that if and when the time comes where the Jets struggle and need a bit of an offensive juice, that switch gets made. I mean, that's a logical move for Rick Bonus to make that doesn't impact and doesn't have a huge cascading effect all up and down the lineup. 2-0 for the Jets. They make it 3-0, 8:35 after the second goal. This one is Toffoli, his 29th. Assist to Ehlers and Monahan. That's his third in the last, I guess, four-plus periods. And what you love about this one is that was where it starts. It starts deep in the Jet zone. Yep. With a board battle victory, and then they transition up the ice so wonderfully that's the greatest appeal of this goal, is where it starts. It's not a dump and chase sort of goal. It's a goal that starts with a strong, solid defensive play and then they transition up the ice until Ehlers hits to Foley after Monahan got the puck onto Ehlers' stick for the clean zone entry. And the Jets into Foley with a really nice set of hands, as we all know. And he's, again, in a prime scoring area, right down low, you know, below the circles in the high danger zone. And he beats Merzlikins to make it 3-0 for the Jets. But, you know, the guys, the whole team, the coaching staff are going to rewind that goal all the way back to the defensive zone coverage and the defensive zone play that starts it all off, Ezzy.
Yeah, the defensive zone play made by Tyler Toffoli, right? Like, that's key here, right? So you're right. And I mean, again, this to me is an example of just a bunch of veteran skilled forwards. We're talking about the Monahan line here, or the whole team for that matter, but specifically on the third Jets goal, the Monahan line, just taking advantage of a slower, more inexperienced Blue Jackets team, right? Like, Cole Sillinger is in the middle, guys, of this play, and Toffoli just comes down right down Main Street, and Ehlers hits him with a beautiful pass. So, like, these goals are the Jets just executed right in the second period, right? Like, we talked about the first period, Connor got the goal, but in the second period, like, the Jets realized, okay, like, we can really take it to these guys here. Second game of a back-to-back, they're just not very good. And I think, you know, to Drew's point, I think this line, why would you break this line up when you're going up against the Rangers and you're going against other teams fighting for a playoff spot? The Islanders, the Devils, the Capitals, right?
Yeah.
Like, this is the line that you want. I think even though there's been a big push in, you know, Jets fan nation for Ehlers to be on the top line, I just don't see it happening right now, especially with Vilardi out of the lineup. And, wow. And you know,
right
just
now, you could make the argument that's the top line, Monahan, Toffoli,
yeah,
and,
no,
and Ehlers.
It's true. It's true. And you made this point, Drew, when the Jets acquired Toffoli. You've got a 1A and you've got a 1B now.
Right. Right.
And we'll wait and see, you know, if Namestnikov eventually, you know, usurps Iafallo there. But regardless, I think, you know, this line, I mean, this, again, we're not going to get, you know, too excited here because it's the worst team in the Eastern Conference. But again, if the Jets beat the Blue Jackets, remember, you know, a few weeks back, the Jets beat, was it the Ducks 2-1, and they beat the Blackhawks. I think it was back-to-back one goal wins over those teams. And we were really critical of how the Jets were playing because you should stomp on these weaker opponents.
That's right.
And that's what the Jets did here. So Toffoli, Monahan, Ehlers, they led the way and they got a lot of goals, a lot of cookies.
Yeah,
and you know, the game was over after two periods.
And I just was gonna, I'm not gonna add anything to the goal analysis because you both just did a good job. But I was just gonna say the only thing that I could add is it's a good thing Pascal Vincent or Pascal Dupuis, depending on who you're listening to.
Hey, I heard. Okay, I think I was maybe finishing off dinner or something about at that point in time, and I heard him say Pascal Dupuis, and I'm like, did I hear that right? Or am I dreaming? Like,
is he a former Penguins player? Because
boys, sure he should have said, remember former Blue Jackets goalie Pascal Leclerc.
There
yeah,
you go.
That would have been
fine. He was a high draft pick, wasn't he?
He was, yeah.
He was a first rounder, if I recall correctly.
He was.
I'm looking up now.
Anyways, yeah. All I was going to say is Pascal Vincent,
yes.
Former Moose bench boss, Jets assistant coach. I was thinking it's a good thing he doesn't have any hair, because if he did, watching his team's defensive coverage on this third goal, he'd be pulling it all out, because it is lacking for lack of a better term. And I would not be very pleased with my club if that was my team, because a lot of guys standing around watching and their immobility was taken advantage of by Winnipeg, and that's why you saw the goal.
And just one other thing here before we get to the Jets 4-0 goal, like, I really think if Adam Fantilli's healthy, if Patrick Laine is not in the player assistance program, I think the Blue Jackets
Kent Johnson
again
for the season,
speaking of high draft picks, like, if you have these players, you're still not making the playoffs, guys, but at least you're much more competitive. Like, Patrick Laine, I mean, he's one of the highest paid guys on the team. We know he's an elite goal scorer. He might have been struggling a little bit earlier in the season, but with no Adam Fantilli, look at Connor Bedard. Like, if the Hawks didn't have Connor Bedard, I don't know if they win 10 games this year. Like, yeah. I'm not even joking.
You're probably not wrong, but we talked about it yesterday morning. We said that the bottom of the Blue Jackets forward group is just It's
the Cleveland. They're Cleveland Monsters.
They're exactly right. So the Jets, which have an incredible amount of depth now and are littered top to bottom with NHL caliber, need to take advantage of that. And they did, because the Blue Jackets, when you're a young team, you're likely to have some talent, but you're also likely to be thin. So as soon as that talent is out of the lineup for injury or whatever the circumstances may be, and as he just alluded to, we know Columbus has a lot of injuries, that really exposes your lack of depth pretty quickly for all to see. Just as an aside, Pascal Leclaire was the Blue Jackets' first round pick, number 8 overall, back in 2001. I can't believe that was 23 years ago.
Crazy.
Holy Zamboni, as somebody
said. We were not at that draft.
Foley to Foley.
That was before before IC used to go to the draft.
That was before IC existed.
that's true. Shocking.
That's how long ago it was.
Yes, that's true.
3-0 at this point in time. The Jets make it 4-0. This comes at the 12-minute mark of the second period. And one of our oft-stated rules is that if you score your first goal of the season, you're likely to get the Seagram shot of the game.
The Seagram shot of the game.
Let's all pretend that this fireball is actually Irish whiskey. Okay,
we'll there say you go.
This is Irish whiskey. It is St. Patrick's Day. I hope everyone who's celebrating. I tried out my Gaelic earlier in the show, so I don't need to do it again. But we hope you're all celebrating and enjoying your day if this is a day that you celebrate. And we also want to celebrate our friends at Seagram's for their continued support of the Illegal Curve post-game show. Fireball, you know it tastes like heaven and it burns like hell, but it tastes so good at the same time. So big thanks to our friends at Seagram's. Get any of the fine Seagram's products wherever liquor is sold near you. Logan Stanley, all 8 feet, 7 inches of him from the point, with David Gustafson providing the screen on this one. And, you know, it's got to feel good for Logan Stanley to get on the score sheet with this rocket of a shot that Merzlikins doesn't really react to at all, because I think Gustafson was providing that screen. And that is Logan Stanley's first of the year, and it makes it 4-0 for the Winnipeg Jets at this point in time, Dave.
Yeah, I mean, and again, that's why I say that David Gustafson should deserve a lot of credit, a lot more than just a little positive Ezzy, because nobody takes positive plus minus seriously anymore. So because of that, David Gustafson will not really receive many accolades, because it's quickly forgotten, unfortunately, for him. But his screen is what sets this up, and he takes away the eyes of Merzlikins. And Logan Stanley, good shot, good presence of mind to recognize that he's got Gustafson in front. So, you know, he's easily maligned. He's much maligned, I should say. And I know a lot of folks don't have the time of day for Logan Stanley, but you know who does? Rick Bonus. And he's the coach. And he's the one who makes the lineup decision. So while folks may want Ville Heinola, we'll talk about him in the Minuuk Moose minute after the break. But the fact of the matter is that Logan Stanley is the guy who's going to be seen as the seventh or eighth defenseman, depending on your perspective. And he's going to get opportunities in this lineup. And so it's a good shot. And it's more about building confidence in a player who's, you know, feeling like he's part of it. And that's what you're going to want to see, because ultimately, you know, hearing from Rick Bonus, Colin Miller, Nate Schmidt, Logan Stanley, they're all going to be getting into the lineup in the remaining, 16 games, Drew? No, 15 games now after this. 15, I think, so 15 games left. These guys are all going to get into it. So you want these guys to feel like they're part of the team, and they feel like it when they score goals. Nate Schmidt, we just talked about it. He scored his second goal of the season against the Ducks. So, you know, that makes him galvanized. And similarly with Logan Stanley, he gets that shot. He gets a big bomb. He gets the reward. He feels like he's part of it. It's 4-0 for the Jets.
Yeah, I just wanted to say one thing before I talk about the goal, because obviously it's just a big howitzer. There's not a ton to break down here, but you know, just one point on Logan Stanley. I think when the Jets acquired Colin Miller, like you said, Dave, okay, now Schmidt becomes number 7 or 7A, 7B, or Stanley's 8, right? So it's just nice, I think, for Logan Stanley. Whatever your opinion is on Logan Stanley, and you're right, Rick Bonus and the coaching staff don't care what any of us say about Logan Stanley. They're going to, I'd love to think that, you know, they watch the show and they, you know, factor in what we have to say, but
hope they don't.
Yeah, no, exactly, especially when we're drinking, right? But I think, you know, it's just nice, Dave, that Stanley's getting some games after the Jets brought in Colin Miller. because you know that as soon as Colin Miller's brought in, guys like Nate Schmidt and Logan Stanley are thinking, okay, you know, that's going to bump me down a little bit, right? Not to say they're not going to play again, because obviously Nate Schmidt and Logan Stanley were in, but, you know, once it gets into the playoffs, one of Nate Schmidt or Logan Stanley, most likely, Dave, you'd agree, and Drew are going to be out of the lineup. That's just because Samberg and either Pionk or Colin Miller is going to be your third pair there, right? So,
yeah.
But on this goal, like, you're right, Dave, you know, Gus Bus provides a nice screen in front of Elvis Merzlikins. But also, Zach Werenski passes
up
the boards to absolutely nobody.
Yeah, it was terrible.
Like, I forget if it was, it might have been Trey Fix-Wolanski, who obviously had a great career with the Edmonton Oil Kings, the WHL. He's a 20-year-old rookie for the Blue Jackets, but Werenski just doesn't pass it to anybody.
Yeah.
So Logan Stanley just one times it. And what I was thinking is, like, you know, Drew mentioned he's 8'7". Obviously, you know, 6'7", you're, for those who don't know. I mean, I have to say that, Drew, because I tweeted out that I thought that this Blue Jackets Jets game had a playoff feel, and somebody took me seriously. So, folks, he's 6'7". He's not the same size as Giant Gonzalez, if you remember him from the WWF days, who I think he was actually 8'7", or George Mirzan, whoever you want to pick, who was actually that tall. But I just kept thinking, like, what would a Logan Stanley slapper look like? What is a goalie, even an NHL goalie, guys, thinking of when that guy steps into a shot? Like, that is a big, large man stepping into a slap shot. So, again, as you mentioned, Drew, first goal of the season, good for him, for a guy that we thought might not play at all after the Jets acquired Colin Miller, right? So you always like to see a guy who's you know, a depth player get their first of the year, right?
You always want to see a guy score a goal. You know, if you're a professional hockey player, score a goal at least once a year, you'll feel good about yourself.
You're next.
Well, yeah, there you go. 4-0 at this point in time. 5-0, 6 minutes and 24 seconds later, as the second period onslaught continues. Vlad Namestnikov getting his 9th of the year. Morgan Barron and Neil Pionk with the assists on this one. And, you know, it's a fortuitous bounce off the end boards. And the Jets, you know, will certainly take advantage of it. I mean, Namestnikov is sort of along the other side of the ice, just waiting there, and the puck comes off the end boards right to him. And Merzlikins gets a piece of it, but not quite enough of it to keep it out from the net on the ricochet. And it's 5-0 for the Winnipeg Jets, as they've decided to play a dominant second period and just take utter control of the contest en route to the ultimate 6-1 victory. But just a nice play, nice shot by Vlad Namestnikov. Nice to see him get rewarded. A fourth line goal for the Winnipeg Jets. And you look at the scoring tonight. I mean, it was all up and down the lineup, and that's what the Jets can do to you. They can roll lines at you, and they can roll lines that each line has scoring potential, as opposed to some other years where, you know, if a fourth line ever got a goal for the Jets, it was, you know, a half a miracle at that point in time.
Yeah. Shout out to Trevor Lewis, Nate Thompson, Saku Manilainen, and James Wright. Some of the boys that used to play on the Jets fourth line. Right. But yeah, I mean, you're watching this game and you're like, this game's obviously over at that point. And I thought it was funny the way Vlad Namestnikov reacted to scoring that goal, right? Like, as Drew mentioned, it's the most fortuitous bounce you could get off of the Neil Pionk point shot, right? But it's like Eric Gabranson is there, and speaking of big boys, he's, you know, 6'5", 6'6", and he just kind of, you know, swats at the puck and misses it, and it just comes to Namestnikov, and Merzlikins, as Drew mentioned, you know, I think he got a piece of it, right? Like, but it's just, you're thinking, like, this game was already over. All the Blue Jackets are trying to do is get out of the second period, you know, because it's just completely embarrassing getting – you know, just absolutely outplayed at home. So, I mean, that just added insult to injury. That's what I just kept thinking. Like, this has got to be embarrassing if you remember the Blue Jackets.
Yeah, exactly right. It was sort of one of those rock bottom nights for any Blue Jackets fans in Ohio. The Blue Jackets do get on the scoreboard, so the Jets do not get their 1-2. They do not get their fourth consecutive shutout victory. So team failure for the Winnipeg Jets, clearly. Yeah. 39 seconds into the third period, Brendan Gaunce getting his second of the year. I didn't realize he was still in the NHL. I think he's also a former first-round pick. Isn't he? Wasn't he a first-round pick of the Ducks?
Ooh.
Got to look that up.
Brendan Gaunce, I mean, he definitely was not drafted by the Blue Jackets. No. I don't remember if he was a first round pick. You look it up, Drew. He could have been a second rounder, but
okay, I'm gonna look that one up. He gets his second of the year assist to Christensen. That is Jake Christensen and Olivier, again, another depth player for the Ducks. Matthew Olivier, a right winger for the Ducks. I mean, can you tell that we're going into the dregs of the lineup at this point in time for the Blue Jackets?
Siri, who is Mikhail Pythia? Like, you know what I mean? Like, who are these players right now, as Dave mentioned? Looking more like the, is it the Cleveland Monsters now, Dave? Or is it the Lake Erie? I always forget.
Cleveland. No,
Cleveland Gaunce was a first round pick. I got the team wrong, though. He was a first round pick of the Vancouver Canucks back in 2012.
Ooh, 20.
We were not at that. That was in Pittsburgh. We were not at the draft.
The Connor Hellebuyck here, right?
That is correct.
Yeah. Jacob Trouba.
Lucas Sutter.
Lucas. Second round pick. Yeah. Lucas Sutter. I don't even think a good second round pick. I don't even think Sutter played Lucas Sutter. That is played pro hockey.
I think he went back and played at the University of Saskatchewan. If I recall,
former Red Deer Rebel, right. Playing for that Sutter dynasty, but yes, he was not one of the Jets' better draft picks.
No,
unfortunately. But look, I mean, you know, it, he almost scored on the original play there.
It's the post on the original one. And
I mean, that's good for the Blue Jackets for breaking Hellebuyck's shutout, but unfortunately, there wasn't much more to this goal, even though it was scored early 39 seconds into this third period. They just didn't build off of it.
Right. It's a fortuitous bounce in that it hits Brendan Dillon and just sort of stops right in the middle of the slot. I mean, it's, you know, the Jets are, you know, generally in decent position to start on this one. And then the bad bounce is where the chaos begins at that point in time. And you're right. Good for the Blue Jackets. Good for Gaunce to get the goal. I mean, you know, obviously, you know, Hellebuyck didn't want to give it up as the Jets wanted to keep the win by shutout streak going. But it's 5-1. And really, it's not like it's going to be competitive in this third period or anything like that whatsoever. They make it 6-1. Well, they thought they made it 6-1 on Morgan Barron's goal, but that was called back from a high stick. And I thought it was a high stick looking at the review. I really just wanted it to be a quick review. That was my fear was that they were going to really drag it out. I'm like, guys, it's 5-1. It doesn't matter.
The only thing that sucks is like for a guy like Morgan Barron, a young player on the fourth line, you kind of want him to pad those stats, right? Because as Dave has talked about many times, he's having a career year despite going from the third line last year to the fourth line this year, right? But it was a high stick. So, I mean, it was the right call on the ice. But again, Jets fans are watching that, sitting there watching the game, thinking like, I really don't care if this goal counts or not. We've already won this game. Exactly.
Get on with it and let the game end without anybody suffering anything resembling an injury. That's what the third period was about for the Winnipeg Jets. But Tyler Toffoli, he gets his second of the game, fourth of the last two games. Yeah. It's his 30th of the season. This is at the 17:34 mark. It's a really nice pass by Damon Severson.
Yeah, give him an assist.
Yeah, Damon Severson plays for the Blue Jackets. So, I mean, it was such a soft play in the neutral zone. Yeah. And Toffoli comes in all alone. And I love the leg kick. I mean, pick the corner, great shot to beat Merzlikins, but the leg kick is such a beauty.
Who does that remind you of, Drew? I know who it reminds me of. Timu back in the day with the Jets. He used to do that a lot on breakaways. But yeah, you're absolutely right. I mean, I think Damon Severson might be a member of the Devils again after that play. But I mean, like, wow.
It was here for the Blue Jackets.
Well, yeah, and I like Severson.
The pride of Melville, Saskatchewan.
Yeah, he's a good Saskatchewan boy. Like, I just, again, you know, this blue, it has to be hard, guys, when, you know, you're on a team who is a seller at the deadline. And as we talked about, you're missing some key pieces, specifically Patrick Laine. And even though Adam Fantilli is only 19 years old, he's still a key piece. Look at his stats. He was, you know, top five in rookie scoring when he was healthy, right? So it must be tough, you know, to get up for some of these games. But again, you've got to be a professional, and that's just an egregious turnover.
Yeah.
And you're right, Drew. I mean, it's a beautiful Tyler Toffoli made that look easy. And that's what that was, a goal scorer's goal. That's a guy who, you know, he's like, okay, we're up 5-1, but I'm gonna bury this one and get my 30th now, right? So I mean, it's just, you know, credit to Tyler Toffoli. This is all on him. Jumps on the turnover and makes no mistake about it, right?
That's exactly it. And 6-1 at that point in time, and the game ends by that 6-1 margin. It's just an absolute ass kicking by the Winnipeg Jets is what they're supposed to do and what they've done as of late. I mean, think about the last four games against weaker opponents. They beat Seattle, 9 days ago. What was that? 3-0, if I'm not mistaken. Mm-hmm. They beat Washington also 3-0, right? Yep. I mean, that was last Monday. They beat Anaheim 5-0, and they beat Columbus 6-1. Yeah. I mean, you know, you're beating on your bad opponents pretty handily, and that's certainly
And the point that Ezzie made is one that we have to reiterate, because when they were just getting past Chicago and Anaheim, rightly people were saying, "What is going on with this team? You're barely getting past teams that are bottom feeders." Well, now you're handily defeating the teams that you should be handily defeating, and that's not a bad thing. It's not a castigation against the Winnipeg Jets. We're not going to malign them for that. Ultimately, they did what they needed to do, which was defeat these teams. And you know, they're not very good, and that's fine. But you're showing that you are a very good hockey team and that these guys can produce. And the key to me, Drew, kept everybody fresh. You know, no guys over 16 minutes or just barely over 16 minutes, Ezzie. That's huge to go into to play against a really good Rangers team on Tuesday and have your team be this fresh. Not over and above the fact that you still have guys that you know you can bring in and they most likely will bring in on Tuesday to give those guys some relief and, you know, skip them ahead probably to Thursday's game. But just a massive win for Winnipeg, because everybody had a piece of it. Everybody had a little, you know, I'm not saying everybody got on the score sheet, but everyone had a piece of that game, and you kept it consistent. And if the Jets can do that down the stretch, that's going to go a long ways.
So the question is, Dave, is Tuesday night's game at Madison Square Garden, is it going to be called the Jack Roslovic revenge game? Is it going to be called the, I know Nick Patan's not going to be in the lineup most likely, but is it the Patan revenge game? Is it the Jacob Trouba revenge game? Like, I'm not sure.
Blake Wheeler's technically.
Yeah, exactly. He might be injured, but it could still be the Wheeler revenge game. I'm not sure, but a lot of ex-Jets on the Rangers.
There are a lot of ex-Jets on the Rangers, and that's where the Jets head to next is New York. They got the Rangers on Tuesday. They got the Devils on Thursday, and they got the Islanders on Saturday. So New York, New York is what the Winnipeg Jets will be singing after they sing for tonight's 6-1 victory over the Blue Jackets.
And Drew, for Terry, who've got the comment up there, yeah. Matt Rempe is back from his suspension.
He's eligible to play. I mean, whether or not he's in the lineup is to be determined, but he's eligible to return from his suspension on Tuesday.
Yeah. So I don't think that's going to be a distraction at all for the Jets. Like, some people were talking about, you know, should Logan Stanley remain in the line? Like, first off, I'm pretty sure, like, Brendan Dillon and Adam Lowry, if they need to, can fight Matt Rempe. Like, honestly, I'm a Devils fan, so I didn't like what he did against the Devils, obviously, but I honestly don't think that's something they talk about at all. I think they want to take the, they're going to be happy if they get the 2 points, Dave. I don't think Adam Lowry or Brendan Dillon is really concerned. All due respect to Matt Rempe, it's like, chill a little bit on your antics.
The game plan, I agree with you on the antics, and the game plan on Tuesday is going to mention shutting down Zibanejad and Panarin. It's not going to mention shutting down Rempe in the least bit. Of course, Tuesday still a couple days away for that, and the post-game show will be around 8:30 p.m. on Tuesday night, maybe 8:30, 8:45, somewhere around there. But we have lots more to talk about tonight on the Illegal Curve post-game show. Tough Duck, hardest-hitting comments still to come. Don't go anywhere. Manuk Moose Minute as well. Luck of the Irish shining on the Winnipeg Jets. Dave's wearing the Fighting Irish. I'm wearing my Lucky Charms scarf, and Ezzie's wearing an olive green Farmery Home of Illegal Curve beer hoodie. Stay with us, everybody. It's Saturday. It's Sunday night, and we're live with the Illegal Curve post-game show.
BP's new New York Sicilian square footers. With a thicker crust than ever before, they're light and airy on the inside and oh so crispy on the outside. You're going to have your work cut out for you.
Okay, fine.
Try the New York Sicilian square footers, only at Boston Pizza.
You guys ever wish for a game changer in life?
Like finding out your favorite snack has 0 calories?
Or discovering the mute button on Ezzie?
Picture this, a secret weapon for parking, where you can book a spot a whole month in advance.
Tell me more, Drew.
Pre-book your parking at really low rates, or maybe even for free if you use the code IllegalCurve.
Free? What is this, sorcery?
The Grid Park app. It's a real secret weapon that has affordable game day parking, and to sweeten the deal even more,
I love sweets.
Our listeners can use the code IllegalCurve to park for free.
Holy Zamboni!
Tell me about it. Just download Grid Park, GRYD Park, and use the code IllegalCurve, all one word, to park for free.
The game can change.
Ah!
just like that. Accidents happen when you aren't protected. So now what? Getting to your injury quickly can make all the difference. Help prevent them from being game changers with Linden Market Dental Center. Bonding, crowns, bridges, and dental implants. State-of-the-art treatments are available to help you get back in the game. To learn more, visit LindenMarketDentalCenter.com. Creating smiles for life.
Your coworkers love you because you always make them laugh. You're the life of the party with stories that have them rolling on the floor. Or maybe you're just the quiet one in the corner with the one-liners that just slay. Do you have what it takes to become Winnipeg's funniest person with a day job? Try your luck. Hit the stage at Rumors Comedy Club and you could be walking away with $1,000 cash. Winnipeg's funniest person with a day job, presented by Rumors. For all the details, head to RumorsComedyClub.com.
Whoa, Ezzy, everything okay? You look stressed.
Of course I'm stressed. We're moving, the house is upside down, the kids failed miserably at packing the fine china, and my life is in chaos. Chaos!
Yes, that does sound like a problem.
What am I going to do?
Ezzy, relax. Rolly's Transfer Moving and Storage is the answer. With 60 years of experience in moving Manitobans and a track record of exemplary customer service, one call to Rollies and your stress is gone. No job is too big or too small. Just visit Rollies.com and they will take it from there.
Thanks, Dave. And thank you, Rollies Transfer Moving and Storage, online at Rollies.com.
For three generations and over 80 years, Tough Duck has been making apparel that works and plays as hard as the people who wear it. From jackets to work boots and everything in between, Tough Duck's clothing can handle the harshest environments, even the illegal curve hockey show. Work to live, live to play. Visit toughduck.com. Sunday evening, we're back on the Illegal Curve postgame show. Drew Mandel, Dave Manouk, Ezra Ginsberg with you. Jets won 6-1 in Columbus against the Blue Jackets. They had to face the Rangers on Tuesday night. A little more post-game coverage for you still to come. We have, of course, the Tough Duck hardest hitting comment. We have the Manouk Moose Minute. But what I wanted to highlight and make mention of, it's a great article by our buddy Mike McIntyre, who's on the road trip for the Winnipeg Free Press. Not sure if it's been linked on illegalcurve.com just yet, not yet. Dave. Not yet.
Tomorrow.
I'm gonna link it. It's going to be tomorrow. Okay, you can get it there tomorrow. He sat down, Mike had a one-on-one with Nikolai Ehlers about Patrick Laine and Patrick Laine's health and the struggles that he's going through, because, of course, Ehlers and Laine still very good friends. So Mike speaks to Nikolai Ehlers about that, and you can sort of hear the emotion in the article. So great kudos to our buddy Mike McIntyre. Kudos to Nikolai Ehlers for being comfortable enough to speak on the subject. And as we did yesterday on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show, we want to send our best to Patrick Laine, and whenever he's back, and whenever, we all look forward to seeing him back on the ice for whatever team he's playing with, and you know, when he departs, hopefully in a timely fashion, the NHL Player Assistance Program. So just wanted to highlight that great article by our buddy Mike McIntyre. A couple post-game comments. Tyler Toffoli, he got his fourth goal in the last two games. I thought we did some really good things, talking about the line. Hopefully it only gets better from there. So that's Tyler Toffoli. The Toffoli, Monahan, Ehlers line certainly clicking again tonight, combining for 6 points on the Jets' second and third goals, respectfully. And then Logan Stanley said it felt good to get his first goal of the season, help the guys win, and everyone loves to score goals once in a while. So good for Logan Stanley getting that goal as well. That was the fourth one in tonight's 6-1 shellacking by the Winnipeg Jets over the Columbus Blue Jackets. Dave M., you got some Moose news for us before we get to Ezzy's Tough Duck hardest hitting comment. Let's get to it.
Put on your antlers. It's time for the Manouk Moose Minute on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
It is indeed time to shine, because the Moose were closing things out, boys and girls, in Chicago yesterday. Big match. They had defeated the Wolves on Friday night in a shootout after coming back, scoring a goal in the third period. So if they could close things out, they were 4-1-0 to that point, And two more points, of course, would be significant to put a little more cushion between themselves and the Wolves for that fifth and final playoff spot in the Central Division. And they started it off well. Parker Ford, the identity line. Parker Ford has been on a heater, that kid. He's kind of, remember, he was the guy everybody was talking to about in development camp. And is Parker Ford going to make the Jets? I'm like, no, he's probably not going to make the Jets out of college, but he's going to do some damage with the Moose. And
got 31 points now.
That's what I mean.
Let's give the kid some props. I know you are, yeah. Dave M, but this is a guy who nobody had heard of before training camp.
This is a guy who...
I mean, I don't know if he plays in the NHL next year. Yeah, but 31 points as a rookie in the NHL, that's impressive. And counting, right?
And counting. There's still a number of games left. I think 15 games left for the Moose. But this was he's a real good player. He's found, and again, I keep calling, you talked about that identity line, as he had the third line, Jets third line. I call these guys, Jeffrey Viel, Christian Reichel, and Parker Ford, that identity line. His 12th goal of the year, that gives the Moose a 1-0 lead. Gotta mention, of course, because Tico Napoli's in the chat, and if I don't mention it, I won't hear the end of it. But in that first period, Tyrell Bauer, first game back after missing seven with, I think it was his back, was hampering him, and he drops a right hook. And I've got it on my IC Twitter, but it went a little viral yesterday. And Tyrell Bauer is a tough kid, and I know people are saying, oh, bring him up, he'll fight Matt Rampe. But as I mentioned earlier, those guys are boys. They grew up together in Alberta and played for the Seattle Thunderbirds together, junior hockey. So, and likely train in the summer. But so you're not going to see
Tyrell Bauer is teaching and giving him some pointers. And that's why Rempe is having so much success fighting in the NHL, Dave. He's, showing him his secrets that have led him to be a feared fighter in the AHL.
For sure. Well, he was challenged to the tilt. He didn't just answer the bell. He rang it with that one. And then after the Wolves tied the game in the first period, none other than Henry Nikkanen, who decided, the first 35 of the games aren't really that, 35 games of the season, not that significant, not that important. I'm going to get 0 points. Now, to the 2019 fourth rounder of the Jets' credit, he was still doing a lot of good things. He just wasn't producing. But since then, as the last seven games, he's gone off. He's been a big producer. And he scores a real nice shorthanded goal for the Moose to give them a 2-1 lead as he rips a shot home. Nice pass. Nicholas Jones draws everyone to him. So 2-1 for the Moose. And then Parker Ford, he keeps going. He gets his second of the game, puts the Moose up 3-1 late in the second period on a real nice, want to talk about a tip play, as he made a nice tip of a Ville Heinola shot. And Brad Lambert got the secondary assist. He's up to, that was his 42nd point, which is significant. We'll get into it more because he produces some more. And but they weren't done there. The Moose were sensing a little blood in the water, and they kept rolling. So Nikita Chibrikov, the big Jets prospect, not big, small Jets prospect, but he's a talented kid, yes, and plays big because he's got an attitude. He scores his 16th goal of the year. And I got to tell you, if you didn't see the goal, check it on our Instagram, Illegal Curve, or go to my Twitter, IC Dave, because after he scores, he goes like this, and he shushes the crowd. And he did that in Grand Rapids. He did that in Chicago. And it was funny. And
who did that again, back in the day? Was it Yager that did that? I think Yager.
No, Yager did the salute, no. Didn't he?
Yeah. Yager did the salute, but I'm trying to think who did the shush. I don't remember, but Chibrikov's done it now twice, and it's pretty funny. He did it in the shootout. This time he does it with the Moose up
It's a big thing in soccer, for sure. Or as it's called in Europe, football, right? Like, you see that a lot. Where guys go, not so much in hockey.
You got 7 minutes until curb starts, so come on.
Well, I will say quickly, but feeding Chibrikov that pass was Brad Lambert. And Brad Lambert then, that was his 43rd point of the season. He's got 18 goals, 25 assists in 51 games. And for folks who are keeping track at home, he's on the edge of the top 10 all-time Moose rookie points. But who's he one back of? Kyle Connor. Kyle Connor had 44 points, 25 goals, 19 assists in 52 games during that 2016-17 season. So Brad Lambert in pretty good company, sitting just one back of Kyle Connor. I'm just saying, it's something to take note of when people worry about these guys and, this kid is developing real nice with the Manitoba Moose. So that's a good thing for Manitoba. And then CJ Cease, I think his birthday is today, if I saw the Moose tweet correctly. So he got into it. And one of the things Mark Morrison, the head coach of the Moose, talked about, boys and girls, was will and determination of this group and how they've kind of gelled as a group. Well, you saw it in this play where Dominic Toninato goes for a loose puck in the Moose end, swats it out. Cease gets it in the neutral zone, puts it home 5-2. But the Moose, Ezzy, they were not done there. Henry Nikkanen, he scores his second of the game very late to make it a 6-1. Oh, 6-2, I think, for the Moose. Sorry, because I forgot Chicago had scored a power play goal to make it 3-2. So it was 6-2 when Henry Nikkanen gets his second. He's got 5 goals, 4 assists in 7 games. And again, doesn't sound that remarkable, but it is when you consider he had 0 in his first 35. Game-winning goal was Parker Ford's. He's got 5 already on this season, so he gets his due. Another guy, Ezzy, as I round this out and give a guy his due, Thomas Milic, 2023 fifth-rounder for the Jets. Kid's done everything. He's won everywhere he's gone. He's a complete battler.
More people need to be talking about this. Like,
yeah,
to do what he's doing at 20 years old, I'm not sure if he's turned 21 yet, Dave, but 20 or 21,
yeah,
doesn't matter. Either
professional
way.
Professional rookie goaltenders exactly. Don't succeed at the AHL
right.
level.
And so, I mean, that how good is that draft pick looking right now, right? Dave, we talked to many. I remember we were talking to Craig Button about Thomas Milic. Stephen Ellis of Daily Faceoff. We were talking to Stephen Ellis, and we were like, why was he drafted so late? And people were saying, well, overage goaltender in the WHL. He's not that big.
He's 20,
Ezzy. He's what, 6 feet, Dave? 6'1"? Like, he's not big by today's standards, but the guy
he has
11 wins now. Like, it's incredible. Like, wanted to mention that. You watch the Moose more, obviously, Dave, but I think more people need to be talking about the gem that the Jets have in their system right now.
He's 20 years old. He doesn't turn 21 till next month. And he's won 6 straight games for Manitoba. He stabilized them in net. And more importantly, he played 5 of the 6 games on this road trip, and he won all 5 games he played in. So
stuff. Like, that's awesome.
But the reality is, I'm just saying, for the Moose right now, we wouldn't be talking about playoffs. Wouldn't be talking about playoffs if it wasn't for what Thomas Milic is bringing, that stability back for the Moose. So he's been real good. They're home for 6 straight games. Now they'll be on the ice tomorrow. We'll have coverage of that, of course, on IllegalCurve.com. Feels like they've been gone for a month, so we'll have hopefully a few interviews to feature on our YouTube page. And again, we've got tickets to give away. So if you want to go to the Moose game actually every Moose game, because we've got tickets for them all. So I'm pretty sure I got tickets for Tuesday's game, Wednesday's game, Saturday's game, and Sunday's game. But right now we're giving away for Tuesday morning. It's a school day game, 10:30. They're playing Grand Rapids, who's probably the hottest team because Milwaukee's fallen off. And so the big game at home, they haven't been a great home team. So we'll see if they can keep this sort of gelling that they were able to do on the road here in Canada life. But big game. Also, just quick AHL update. Iowa defeated Chicago because Chicago had a game in hand. So it is a 6-point cushion right now with the same number of games between the Moose and Chicago. And I think Iowa's 8 or 10 points back. So it's going to be exciting right down to the end.
There you go. There's the Manuk Moose 10 minutes tonight on the Illegal Curve post game show. Yeah.
Drew, more importantly, I understand.
Have you heard of something called PVR?
First of all, you can PVR it. Second of all, you can pause it. So it's like not even a big deal. You know, just for that, I'm going to continue on. No, I'm just going to say quick, Dave at IllegalCurve.com if you want to go to the Moose game or slide into my DMs. I see Dave.
There you go.
Also, Dave, Drew, can I come over to your house because I can't afford, what is it, on Crave?
It's on, or
HBO, Canada, whatever you have. Whatever.
Patrick wants more minutes.
Okay, well, there you go. Dave M, as only Dave M can do, covering the Manitoba Moose. No, full marks to you. We'll wrap up tonight's post-game show. It's the Tough Duck Hardest Hitting Comment.
The Tough Duck Hardest Hitting Comment.
All right, we're going to give it to T. Will. I wasn't sure, Drew. I never know if you're going to say anything or if you just want me to go right into it. So T. Will, we always see T. Will, good friend of Illegal Curve, like this comment. Monahan, Toffoli, and Ehlers are so productive. I heard Connor has told Bones he wants to play on the second line. Word has it, Barron will move to first line and Ehlers will move to the practice roster. I like this comment. Obviously, T. Will is being a little
tongue-in-cheek, I believe is what it's called.
T. Will, but I mean, we talked a lot about tonight how well Monahan, Toffoli, and Ehlers have been playing. Not just tonight, obviously, with, what was it, 6 total points, boys? Toffoli, obviously, leading the way with 2 goals. But love the comment from T-Will having fun. And I don't think we've given T-Will a toque yet this year from Tough Duck. So, T-Will, send me an email, Ezra@IllegalCurve.com, or slide into my DMs on Twitter, @ICSEG, with your mailing info. And Tough Duck will ship out a toque to you. And I know a lot of Manitobans were hoping that spring was going to come early, but it's going to be cold this week. So, We're at least a few weeks away from spring, I would say.
Yeah, there's some melt. You know what the problem is? It's there's been enough melting that everything, when it froze, it's just now a skating rink. Basically, I walk the dog and I'm like holding on for dear life when I walk Brixton on a regular basis now because of how everything's just ice covered. Yes.
Two more things you should mention, or if you don't, I will. Colby Barlow, big hat trick in OHL action. So he's got three more goals. He's up to 37 on the season. And Rucker McGroarty and his Michigan boys, they defeated Minnesota. So they are their season continues in the Big Ten.
Yes, exactly right. So that is a couple quick updates that I was going to mention the Barlow one, and I'd forgotten about the McGroarty one because I was going to mention that earlier. But thank you for having my back, Dave.
I got your back.
As you always do. Jets win 6-1 over the Blue Jackets. We're next in action Tuesday night following the Jets and the Rangers, a step up in competition for the Winnipeg Jets. We'll see how they do under the bright lights of Madison Square Garden. Big thanks to all of you for joining us tonight on the Illegal Curve post game show. If you haven't already done so, smash the like button, subscribe to the YouTube channel, subscribe to the podcast, leave us feedback, and of course tell your friends, tell your family, the best place to be after each and every Winnipeg Jets game. And again, on Saturday mornings is the Illegal Curve YouTube channel. Big thanks to all of our sponsors. They make this show, the Saturday show, and the website a possibility. That's our friends at Rumors Restaurant and Comedy Club. Grid Park, use code Illegal Curve to park for free. Remember, we're going to give away some free Grid Park parking spots for the upcoming Jets home game and the rest of the home games for this year. So be sure to be tuning in on Tuesday night when we do that. Linden Market Dental Center keeps your teeth looking nice and straight and shiny. Zappia Group Realty helps you buy and sell your home. Betway for making a wager, one or two, as long as you make them safely. Tough Duck keeps your head warm. Boston Pizza keeps you nourished. Seagram's keeps you from getting too thirsty. Same with Farmery Beer, home of Illegal Curve Lager. And Rolly's Transfer helps move you here, there, and everywhere. Whatever you need, give Rolly's Transfer a call. Thanks to everyone for joining us. It's been a great busy weekend here. We always appreciate your support. We'll be back Tuesday night. Until then, IllegalCurve.com. Illegal Curve YouTube channel's got all your video as well. We'll see you Tuesday after the Jets and the Rangers. For Dave Minuk, for Ezra Ginsberg, I'm your host, Drew Mandel. Thanks for watching. This has been the Illegal Curve post-game show.
Thanks for listening to this broadcast from Illegal Curve Hockey. For more great Illegal Curve content, subscribe to the Illegal Curve YouTube channel, follow at Illegal Curve on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram, and visit your online home for hockey in Winnipeg, IllegalCurve.com.